everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast, episode 33. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's in that other box. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel sad. I feel like the weather is reflecting my inner soul right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
Just yesterday in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And the ending rocked me a little bit.
It rocked your socks, I'd say.
Not going to lie. It was the perfect ending of a video game.
Perfect, he says. But
fortunately, the sadness won't linger too long because some shit went down today, which we'll get into later on.
Oh, yes.
But
before we
do that, Stephen, please. Yes. Proceed.
The ghosts are not going away, Andy.
They're not.
We'll find out.
They're really not. They never do.
In the show.
They never do. Ghosts.
They never do.
Skeletons in your closet. Night terrors. They never go away.
Just like herpes. Folks, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, we pick some news that we want to talk about in the video game sphere, and we throw it into your face and ears so that you can also enjoy it and then all that fun stuff. This show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and we record the show live in the flesh, baby, on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams, and then the VOD will go up on YouTube the 24 hours later, and that YouTube is youtube.com/dualscreensTV. So before we get into the show, let's tell you about our other shows that we have on this very same channel. Andy, Dual Screens Podcast, holy hell, we're doing some things there.
We did big things recently, too.
That's huge. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
We had our first like AAA developer on the show.
That's correct.
We had Obsidian on talking about Grounded, and that was an amazing show. As my dog squeaks in the background,
your dog sure wants to be in the show.
He's so excited about this announcement.
That was a great episode. That's getting a lot of traction. I was hoping for a little bit more traction. So, folks, if you haven't heard it yet, please go back and listen to it. Go to our YouTube page, share it all over the world because it really was a great, great show. And of course, we have Dual Screens Versus. If you want to go a little further back, that was one of our seasonal shows. We have one more episode that we're going to record very, very soon, and then we're going to move on to our next seasonal show, Casting Call, where Andy and I are going to be casting video game movies. We're going to take a video game franchise that is beloved, and we are going to cast a movie and talk, and not only just cast it, but we're going to also come up with the plot for said movie. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that one. So I hope you guys stick around for that as well. And you don't have to go to any other channel. They're all on the same channel. They're all going to be right here on this channel, Dual Screens Podcast. So please keep it bookmarked. And if you want to support the show financially, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS Podcast, just like our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please head over there, and as $1 gets you a bonus show every month, you get to vote the topic of the bonus show, and you get to join our Dual Screens exclusive VIP Discord. So again, that's patreon.com/NDS podcast. And now, it's time for everybody's future t-shirt, if Missed Enough could get off his butt and design it. The Adventures in Gaming! Andy, what you been playing?
Like I said, Ghost is done and over with. Finished it all. I got a few little lingering things to do, some banners to pick up and some shrines to finish, but I feel I need a little bit of a break because again, there's a very heavy ending and,
it's also a large game. Got a lot going on.
It's a very large game. If you think about it, it took about a month to get through that game.
I'm scared.
3 weeks.
I haven't picked it up in a week, so I want to get back into it.
So I'm looking forward to getting back into Grounded sometime this week.
Yes. I played the hell out of that, actually. I played a lot of it. I really dig it. I dig what they're doing. I wish it was complete. Like, I wish it came out complete as opposed to this kind of like smaller story chunk. And then, like, I understand it's kind of going to be a Minecraftian sort of service-like game. At least that's kind of like the feel we get from it, like with all the future content coming. I just wish it was a complete thing so that it could be experienced in that chunk, but from everything that I've played, I've really enjoyed. And I don't like survival games, and I'm not saying that just because we had the dev on the show. Because honestly, if the game wasn't good, I wasn't going to ask many questions about it.
Even before we booked that interview, we were playing the game. So let's not be like, oh, we were just like throwing out some phony praise because he was on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely put it off until the last possible second. I was like, okay, right, the guy's coming on the show tomorrow. I have to play. But I played like 5 hours, and then since then have played it as well. But you could basically do everything like story wise in just a few hours right now. So it's kind of just that thing. I've been playing a ton of Fall Guys. I've been winning crowns everywhere. It's raining crowns. Andy, on Thursday, I started my stream at twitch.tv/batchild, and I won my first three matches of Fall Guys. I got three crowns.
But not the five, though.
I didn't get the five. No, I got hammercocked. Damn. I got hammercocked. I believe it was in...
what was the game?
I think it might have been Slime Climb.
Of all games, yeah.
Like, I'm good with Slime Climb. Like, I typically... Like, I always get eliminated. If I get eliminated, I always get eliminated in the same spot.
Uh-huh.
And I have to just let people die first. Like, that's my issue. It's the part where there's the two mechanical pistons that come out. It's where it's only the two of them. And everybody rushes it at the same time. And typically what I do is I get on and then I dive to the right and... Or I jump to the right and dive to the left to kind of get around it. Mm-hmm. And it works... Like, I want to say 9 out of 10 times. But what's happening now recently is people are starting to bum rush this thing because they want to get through it, because if they fall, that slime comes up really fast. So people are bum rushing it now. So when you try and do what I've been doing, I'm just getting shoved off of it. So now I have to like adjust my strategy. But yeah, I've gotten, I don't know, I think this past week I've probably gotten 6, 7, 8 crowns, you know, since Thursday. So it's definitely going well. And of course, it's an absolute blast, and I've actually been designing a lot of courses.
I was gonna say that if our good friend Joe Walsh, developer of Fall Guys, is listening to the show right now,
yes,
to reach out to our Steve here, because he's got some really good ideas for mid games.
And Joe Walsh, Mr. Walsh, I know you're busy right now, but you could also just check your email, because I may or may not have already pitched them to you. So,
such an asshole.
Check your email, sir. Andy, big stuff coming up tomorrow.
So. Right, but we should mention one last thing before you move on to the indie news update.
Yes.
That we play a little bit of video game Jeopardy last night.
Yes, we did. We did. That was Billy the Door, twitch.tv/Billy the Door. Unfortunately, the stream kind of crapped out on us. Mm-hmm. So we it's not going to be there, but it will be up hopefully as a podcast and video on demand shortly on his YouTube channel, which I don't know the URL right now, but just look up Billy the Door. But yeah, we had a good time there, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And we kicked ass, didn't we?
Who were the champion of Video Game Jeopardy?
You were the champion. I gave you a run for your money.
You did.
I think you
were your own worst enemy. I think
I was. I made one bad play.
You made several bad plays, I feel.
No. It was one bad play.
Was it the Sega Dreamcast question that you're talking about?
That was a bad play.
One, that's 1,000 points right there, dude.
That was 1,000, but also the worst one, I think, was the Batman one, because for some reason I went with Telltale instead of Arkham, and I don't know why.
Right.
Like that was a bad question, but it was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Yeah, we had a blast.
And hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Oh yeah. That's gonna happen. All right.
Right.
So
now, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Big things happening tomorrow.
Huge.
Okay.
Huge.
And it's not just the indie news update. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for a minute of Apex starting now. Tomorrow, baby. Season 6 is here, and the patch notes are spicy, according to Mikey Kirsch. We have a new character, Rampart. She's got amped cover. She throws a shield that when you shoot bullets out of it, they do more damage, and they block damage coming in. It's incredible. She also has a mounted minigun. Like, hello, it's a turret that anyone can use. Hello! They're adding crafting, where you could go around getting crafting materials. Don't know how I feel about that. We'll see. To make certain weapons. Now, Andy, hugest thing, biggest thing, Andy, they're getting rid of regular of tiered shields. Now, every shield you pick up is a Evo shield. Now, what that means is the more damage you do, those shields can evolve. You can still find a blue Evo shield, whereas it used to be just white. But you find blue, that means you start blue, but then you can make it into a purple and then a red. So they're changing the entire game. They're changing everything about Apex Legends, and I cannot wait. And that was a minute of Apex. A lot more to talk about on that, folks.
I can't hardly wait. /S.
So listen, folks. I will be playing tomorrow.
Oh my God.
On twitch.tv/batchild. Mikey Kirsch and I, we're going to be hitting that map. We're going to get into what was I looking for? The Apex games. That's the word I'm looking for. We're going to be getting there. We're going to hit it hard. So hit it up. Okay? And for those of you that are wondering why I'm waving a screwdriver, it's because my E and R keys were very sticky, so I had to pry them out and clean them. So that's why that's...
I don't want to know why they were sticky.
Well, I don't know why either, because...
No, I think
and then
you
all
do
of a sudden
know.
They weren't. Maybe you know. Something else is happening tomorrow, Andy. Tell us all about it.
We're getting a Nintendo Direct, Steven. It's happening. We all want it. Oh, it's indies.
Oh, indies. Womp.
Listen. I'm not going to fault the Big N for trying. It's that time of year again. We're getting more an Indie World Showcase tomorrow, August 18th. Kicking yep. off at 9 a.m. PT or 12 p.m. ET or 5 p.m. BST or 6 p.m. CEST.
Baltic. That's the Baltic Sea
It'll be
time.
Roughly a whopping, huge 20 minutes of indies.
20 minutes goes fly. It goes by quick.
Yeah,
on these things.
You show two or three good games and it's over. That's what it feels like. But you know what? Listen, I'm
these are
gonna...
always good, though.
These are always fun. We might see some Axiom Verge too, which I'm dying to hear more about.
You and I like this stuff because we love them indies.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we're ready for something else from Nintendo at this point.
Yeah. Anything would be okay.
Right. I would take an up-res version of the Metroid Prime 4 logo. And they watched that for 20 minutes in the stream.
Yeah. An animated Metroid Prime.
Right.
4 logo.
Some shooting stars go by in the background.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
But yeah, that's what we're getting. So good. Good on them.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll have a breakdown of that on next week's show. Unfortunately, we cannot do watch alongs because I have returned to work and I will be in the office tomorrow. So there will be no bullshit. I don't know. Maybe Andy wants to, but
I mean, I'm all bullshit. So
you are full of that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get into the dual screens report. And we are starting off with quite the controversial rumor here.
Oh,
Andy.
The rumor mill is a turning today.
Indeed. So on Kinda Funny's X-Cast podcast, which is their Xbox podcast.
Dude, can I just say one quick thing about Snowbike Mike?
Yes, you may.
I don't know if it's the quarantine or that luscious Lake Tahoe sun that's hitting his beautiful skin.
He's looking
quite delectable lately.
Yes.
He's looking tasty.
He's a beautiful man.
Now, of course,
Snowbike Mike, former guest of the show. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of ours. Good dude. He's one of the hosts on there, but the other host on the show is Alana Pierce. And Alana, who's a very respected video game journalist, doesn't really like to, you know, she doesn't really stir the shit pot, as it were. So this coming from her was actually kind of weird. And of course, it could be anything. The person that reached out to her could be just making shit up. We don't know. But it looks like Alana Pierce says that she was sent a picture from a source at a retailer that shows the price of the Xbox Series X is going to be $599. Now, here's what's interesting is that what she was reporting was not just, it wasn't like a sticker price. It wasn't a online thing. It was the terminal, like the back of house terminal. It's what the people who ring up items would see on their computer. Now, you could all kind of guess whatever you want. The validity of it, it could be bullshit. It could not be. Whatever, doesn't matter. What I highly doubt it is, and this is like the first thing that jumped to a lot of people's minds, is what this isn't is a placeholder, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me explain that before we open the floor and start doing that. Now, when I worked in retail, when you work in retail and you get an SKU, which is it's basically what ties the number of the item to the price, like when you're scanning it with a laser or whatever, or like it's basically the way to track the item. When you get one of those, that is when the price goes into the back of house computer. Typically, you get those prices as when it's a big ticket item, it's almost always the manufacturer's suggested retail price, because it's a huge item. People are expecting to pay a certain price because that price would be announced to the public. This would not be weird. Them showing this image would not be weird if E3 happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because E3 is when they would tell you the price, or shortly after, which means end of August would be the perfect time for stores to start getting their SKUs and start taking pre-orders for items like this, if E3 happened. Now, E3 didn't happen, so I think that kind of kicks the can a little bit down the road, which is why this price showing up in this way seems off and weird. Does that make any sense?
Well, I feel like if you're going to go with a placeholder, what are you basing this price point on? Because the Xbox One launched at $500, correct?
Right. Xbox One?
Xbox One.
I think the OG One was...
That was five, and the PS4, and the PS4 was 400. That was the difference when those two launched.
Was that the One?
Yes, the One.
Okay.
The One, yes. So I'm wondering, and then when the One X launched, that was also 500. So I'm wondering, if it's a placeholder, why would you go with that number? What's the extrapolation there? What are you basing that figure on?
The retailer, or
the retailer? If they're punching in a placeholder number,
right,
in that SKU to put in their system until they get an actual proper official price tag from their distributor or from whoever it comes from,
yeah,
why that number?
If it wasn't an Xbox, or right, if it wasn't like a, I'm trying to think of like a comparative item. Like if it wasn't a new car.
There hasn't been a console price that high since the PS3 launch. So I'm wondering why. Again,
yeah, but
that
doesn't matter. The point I'm trying to get is, if it wasn't a console, if it was just an item, uh-huh, you would price it based off of a percentage of profit that you're trying to
make.
Okay,
sure, yeah.
So mm-hmm, if I got a box of apples, mm-hmm, and I was scanning that into my computer and the apples cost me X dollars, I would want, and I'm trying to make 20% on anything, I would just add the 20%, and that would be the cost of the box of apples.
Right.
So if it's a placeholder, that would be kind of the formula that you would take. At least I would think. But the main reason why I don't think it's a placeholder is because this is a back of house,
mm-hmm,
image. This is not customer facing. No. Customers don't see it. So you don't need a placeholder for that, because mm-hmm, you're not showing
your orders, your profit margin or right, whatever in this.
You're not showing anybody this, right, and you're not charging anybody for this.
Right.
So you could have it, like, for example, you know, like right before E3 happens, like Target will have forward-facing items on their store, like a blank SKU for $69.99 or $59.99. That's because they got the SKU in. They're not allowed to announce it to the public, but they know the cost of it, so they should, right, they put it up in front for the public.
Because retailers know like launch dates and everything through or pre-order.
Yeah, they know all that stuff ahead of time.
Yeah.
The other reason why I think that this could be a thing is because when the controller leaked that showed the Series S, Series X thing on the back of the box that we spoke about last week, that was from a store that was looted.
Right.
That was from a Best Buy that was broken into. At least that was the rumor. I don't know if that was ever confirmed. If that is the case, that means peripherals are in storage or in the back of house of some retailers, which makes me believe that the Series X isn't far behind as far as starting to get stock somewhere, whether it's in a warehouse like one of Best Buy's warehouses, getting ready to be brought out to the Best Buy's based on their pre-orders. You know what I mean?
Right, and also, this will connect to a news piece later on, but with Halo's delay, that's not going to affect the Series X's launch because it's likely already in stores or went to ship to the distributors for, you know, for the actual launch of the thing.
Right.
Now, yeah.
Now, of course, Buzz is the loudest one in the chat. I'm gonna tell this for you as slowly as possible, Buzz. The placeholder for the PS5 was not a back-of-house terminal. That was a forward-facing terminal. That was what customers saw. That was something that anybody with Google and the right search terms would have found that image. That wasn't something back. And it was also made up. That was the other thing that was found out. That had nothing to do with that. My point here is that it's not about how easily it could be changed by November. That's not the point. My point is I am fully confident, as somebody that has worked in retail for years, I am fully confident that because they were showing an actual SKU number in the computer, that is coming from scanning an item or getting their order information, like their confirmation of this is the item you're going to get, this is the manufactured retail price or the suggested retail price, this is what the SKU is going to be. Now, again, what I find super interesting is that this comes at the same time that we have been given tons of rumors about them being in full production and ahead of schedule as far as producing their consoles. So again, all these signs point to an early November release for me, just based on the timing of all of this. Seems like it's going to be an early November thing, and I would be absolutely shocked. I would be completely blown away if this same thing doesn't show up for the PlayStation 5 in 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because we know that they're going to release right before Thanksgiving. That's typically when they release these things. And I don't see why they would be any different. So if you're looking at like a November 19 release, a Thursday before Thanksgiving, I would be shocked. And the other reason why I think that this is a real price is because it makes sense to be a real price. It's quote unquote the most powerful console. It's going to be your high end machine, and you've already told people that you're going to have a low end machine. So you could, or lower end machine that's going to play those same Series X games. So, and that lower end machine is more powerful than your 1X. So you can't severely undercut the price of your Series S. It makes no sense to do that. Especially since you can still sell through your stock of the 1X, which there are plenty out in the wild. They just stopped making them a couple of weeks or a month ago. But I'm thinking what you're going to get is a $600 Series X, which is fine. That doesn't scare me. Like, it did when it was the PS3 because it was the only option. If you were getting a PlayStation, it was that or it was $550. And it was just it was just the hard drives that made the difference. But if you're also coming out with a $400 Series S, this makes all the sense in the world that you would have the, you know, your Lexus, and then you'll have your BMW or whatever, you know? And then I'm guessing PS5 is going to fall right in the middle at $500. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think it's going to be too discouraging, because I think folks who want to get a Series X will buy it at this price point regardless. But it does fit Microsoft's positioning, like having the lower end model at a nice, at a healthy competitive price point. Because for them, it's not about selling Series X or the S, about selling the Game Pass service.
Right.
And having a cheaper box that can play all these games and you can sell those, it's still fine. And those who want their elite controller version of the system in the Series X will buy that.
Nobody bats a fucking eye at a $200 controller.
Of course.
But you know what you're buying. You're buying a $200 controller. Like, honestly, the controller is more expensive than the Xbox One at this point, you know? And that's what they're doing. They're setting themselves up. They said, here's a premium product, which is still half the price of a PC that could do the same thing. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
If you want a PC that is going to do what the Series X can do, you're going to spend at least $1,200, if not more. So it's still a great deal for gamers that can't pluck down $2,000 on a machine.
When you take the idea of having, I want to say very carefully, not games that are held back, but your initial first 2 years of games are going to be supported on both current and next-gen hardware, that higher price point might have folks... Maybe I'll go with the Series S and not for the higher end model, because
I would imagine they would make more money off of a Series S sale.
Right.
Just because of the technology being, I think that the flops are almost half. I think they said it was like seven and change. I don't know if that matters price wise. I don't know like what that really does.
The thing of it is you're not gonna convince people who are strong Nintendo or Sony players to buy a Series X with that price point, or get the S if it's a little bit better than an Xbox One X in its teraflops and its specs.
I think what they're counting on, and I think the reason why they put that that program in where you could upgrade your One X for a Series X, for like I think it was $100 is all you have to pay for that upgrade. Like honestly, how much of a slap in the face would it be to people who held off, or to people who bought a Series X or a One X, and then the Series X comes out and it's cheaper than the price that they paid for the One X.
Right, because the One X was $500,
or the same amount. You know,
right?
I don't know. I just feel, and it wasn't that long ago. It was like a year and a half ago. So I just feel like, this makes sense. I feel like for the first time ever, Microsoft is doing something that makes logical sense.
Right.
In pricing their premium thing at a premium price,
right,
and then offering a cheaper
because there's no debate option. It's a premium console.
Yes, that's
your marketing says that.
It sits up here.
Right.
It's like even if they say it, they're going to have a harder time making the argument that it's the superior console to a PS5 to the layman consumer if they're both priced at the same.
Right.
If I go in, if I'm, you know, some Susie knows nothing, and I'm like, oh, Timmy wants a new Nintendo. What am I going to buy?
Sphere.
And they're like, oh, both are $500. Well, which one's better? Oh, the Xbox. No, you're just trying. What makes it better? Oh, the teraflops, ma'am. No, but if you say, oh, this one's better, that's why it's $100 more.
You find me a clerk that will say the teraflops, ma'am.
What are you telling an average person? What are you telling an average person?
I really don't know.
Oh, it's got better Sea of Thieves. Games. Google it. It's got Sea of Thieves.
It's got fucking Gears of War. That's who you want to buy it, ma'am. It's got Halo. Oh no, it doesn't.
Yeah, not yet. It will have Halo, hopefully, eventually at some point down the line. Well, you know, you ask, oh, does he have an Xbox, ma'am? You know, oh yes. Well, then this will play all the same games. But yeah, it's. I just feel like it's not a bad thing for this console to be $600, and it was a totally different environment, and it was a totally different tone when PlayStation did it.
Yes.
Because PlayStation was coming off of a $300 at launch console that was $99 by the time the PS3 came out, and you literally told people to get a second job. Like it was all
right. And you know, messaging. You're also coming off of an install base of 152 million PS2 users at that point. Strongest, huge cut of the market was all Sony back in the day. The arrogance was riding high for them too.
Right.
So pricey, they're like, well, of course, because people love our stuff. Of course, they'll pay that much for it.
Right. Right. And they still took I think it was a $3 billion hit when they launched PlayStation 3. They were taking a $213 each console loss. On their console, which is ridiculous.
Now, see, my only concern here, Steven, is if you're going to price it that high, if it's the premium console, most powerful system, you haven't sold me on that aspect yet. You haven't shown me where the power is.
They showed you the numbers. They showed you the numbers, but they haven't shown anything actually running on the damn.
Exactly.
So which is a problem.
We have a lot of PR speak and specs and hardware stat sheet. That's great. But I haven't seen games that live up to that expectation yet.
Yeah. Hopefully that comes soon. But you know what is coming soon, Andy? In the fall.
Oh, baby.
Our next news story. Hit us up.
Dude, this got me so rock hard. So, I was really sad this weekend, or today, a bit of yesterday, because I finished Ghosts. It was a wild ride. But, you know, as a single-player story-driven game, it was kind of over for me. Kind of over. But then today, we got this bombshell surprise announcement from Sucker Punch. We're getting a free online
fucking bombshell, but okay.
Co-op mode this fall.
Yes. Yeah.
Called Ghost of Tsushima Legends. Oh, oh my.
I'm pretty sure that is racist. I'm pretty sure that calling it Ghost of Tsushima is a little bit. Seems like it. It just seems like it would be. It seems like something that like somebody would say, "Hey, it's Tsushima, and you played
Sashimi.
60 hours of it, and you should know.
Sashimi.
Anyway,
so let's break down.
What they're promising looks cool.
Let's break down.
I'm gonna
break down some what this thing offers.
Yeah,
this is a brand new separate mode from the actual main game. It doesn't follow Jin. It follows four warriors in the Ghosts universe.
Yep.
It's going to break away from the grounded realism of Ghosts and go full-blown Japanese folklore.
That's awesome.
It's going to be, quote-unquote, haunting and fantastical.
Yeah, okay. That sounds like super awesome.
Now, we got a taste of this in some of the myths, story tales of Ghosts.
Yeah,
that cursed blade, that cursed blade, and the cursed arrow. One.
That's what I feel like. This is all. Yeah. This is an offshoot of. Yeah,
that was the building blocks for what this is. You're gonna get it's 2 to 4 players.
Yep.
4 classes with unique advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Story and survival for 2 players. Raids. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get raids.
Now, what do you like? Raid typically means it's like you're trying to get a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't seem like one of those things that you're going to be like collecting and trying to, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would be like a looter type game. It seems more like a, you know, fun multiplayer game that you could drop in and drop out. But if they're making a kind of a blend of the two types of multiplayer, I'm kind of there for that. What surprises me is that this game could have easily been a spinoff. Like, you could have easily made this a spin-off of Ghost, like, just called Ghost, The Legends of Tsushima, or something like
that. Right. This is a lot like the FF15 Comrades DLC.
Yeah,
you take
sure.
The single-player main game, you take the gameplay loop and put it into a multiplayer system.
Sure, yeah.
But this is actual great gameplay. This is, I think, one of the most addicting gameplay loops I've played in a long time. This whole stance switching and just being a fucking samurai is amazing. Now, I'm wondering now with the 4 classes, I think it was samurai, ronin, and the other two. I'm trying to think.
Hunter.
Do you think we'll get their own? Do you think we'll get little skill trees for them too?
Yes.
In this?
Yes. I think they essentially what they're doing is they're breaking Jin up into 4 characters.
Right.
Because he has like those 4 unique things. Like he's got the longbow. He's got the ghost stuff. He's got the all the gadgets and stuff. He's got the sneakies, and he's got the samurai part of him. The only one I think is kind of like a blend of all of them is the hunter. I would imagine.
Right.
I would feel like the hunter would be like a mid-range tracking, you know, type deception type. No, maybe not deception. That's more of the ninja. I don't know. I look forward to it. Like it's gonna be free, so I'm gonna try it for sure.
Of course.
If this was a whole other spin-off game that was like $30 and was more like a Destiny like thing you could do, not Destiny, but like a Vermintide maybe. I don't know, like there's a value there to playing games like this with your friends. So
well, this is also
and I'm just happy it's not PvP, like that's what I'm mostly happy about. Like PvE 100% doing missions together, co-op, yes, I'm there for that.
This is also what pro consumer looks like.
Oh.
This is giving back to your fan base. Right. This game is a huge audience already. It is their best-selling game for Sucker Punch, the best-selling PS4 exclusive game in Japan. It's still in the charts in the States, in the UK. It sold, I think at this point, close to 5 billion copies worldwide. And what makes this thing especially fun today is because I read an article just this past weekend how they were considered. The quote was, "We haven't ruled out multiplayer yet for Ghosts."
Right.
And it was like, okay, I can see it as a fun little, we can put it on in the next game, or, you know, because usually strong single player games, they tend to tack on multiplayer in the sequel. It happens. But this was like the best kept secret. No one knew about this. No one at all.
Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion this was like something that was not ready for the launch of the game, and they already delayed the game.
Right.
They didn't want to get in the way of PS5, so they probably were just like, you know what, the multiplayer thing's not ready, and if the game doesn't sell well, we don't need to work on it anymore. We could just move on to another thing. And then the game sold well, and they're like, okay, we can continue working on this thing. And then they got it functional, and it works, and it's balanced. And then they're like, okay, let's give it a month, work on it some more, refine it, and then put it out.
It makes you wonder why this wasn't shown at the last state of play. Which makes you think that when you watch these, you know, these state of plays or directs or the, you know, Inside Xbox, you can't really judge what's happening behind the scenes with what you're seeing in those streams, because there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about, and this is a key example of that. How something this a huge multiplayer mode for a first party game that just came out that no one knew about, that this could have made that state of play like headline news, this little announcement, but they kept it tucked away for a rainy day.
They did.
I'm so excited. I just
can't. Speaking of tomorrow,
yes,
which we spoke about earlier, there's a lot of shit going on tomorrow, apparently. All right, so this is coming from IGN. WB Games Montreal is once again teasing its new project, long rumored to be a Batman game set around the Court of Owls storyline and potentially called Gotham Knights. And it looks as though we'll see an announcement or reveal of some kind tomorrow, August 18. Fans have followed the new tease website called redacted.com, but with two threes instead of E's. That was really hard for the dyslexic in me. Which currently features the words...
You did it, though. You did it. Good job.
We have been expecting you, 8:18, followed by a 24-hour countdown timer. The timer set to end at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern time. So the initial tease here, so a Batman Arkham Origins developer linked a new Twitter account called Redacted, which has uploaded a short video below, showing a computer interface with occasional background interference, seemingly showing three different crests or logos. An update. Source code for the Redacted website points to an extended teaser campaign taking place over the course of this week, perhaps ending in a video being unlocked to view on Friday, August 21st, as spotted by IGN's Jordan Alleman. Several parts of the website source include references to radio numbers and codes, and one section seems to imply that there will be a code to input every 24 hours from tomorrow. Entering that code successfully will see you asked to return the next day for another clue. Another section mentions a video in connection with day 4's entry, perhaps indicating some kind of trailer. This seems like a lot of work for a fucking trailer.
I feel like if I'm getting a free game with this, so don't fucking bother. What's the point?
Yeah.
What's going
update
on?
Update number two.
It's so convoluted.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. Fans continue to find secrets in the Redacted website teasing W Game Montreal's presumed next Batman game, but it seems the developers have stopped fans from getting too far into their sleuthing. Discovered in the website was an image of what appears to be a map file with an icon pointing to a specific location. Fans were able to discover a code that needed to be entered into the website. It appears, however, that subsequent codes will be needed in the days leading up to WB Games Montreal's unveiling of their next project at DC.
I love it. Stop being so determined, gamers, what they're doing to their audience.
What is happening?
What is the point of this? It's a fucking trailer. I get it. It's the next big Batman game. I understand the hype around it, but we don't need all this stuff. It's like a fucking, what are you, Assassin's Creed now all of a sudden with your fucking, use your mobile app phone to log in here and get the points and redeem here and get this code. What is this nonsense?
It's amazing that we've been waiting this long for this game. And I'm a big Batman fan, but they lost me with Origins and Knight. Like, I was like, no thanks, I'm done, I'm burnt out, I don't want this. I thought Asylum and City were great. But that was all I...
Yeah, I think City should have ended the series, to be honest. That was a high note for that. Right. Knight was a little too predictable.
But yeah, I mean, enough is enough. Just fucking stop.
Unless all this stuff, now, all these codes and maps and hidden symbols unveil the PS5 Series X launch date and price, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to show me that, then I don't give a shit.
Now, here's what I want to ask you.
Yes.
Is this game next gen only?
Oh, shit. I hope so. I really hope so.
Me too.
I've been seeing a lot of reports lately about third-party devs hating cross-gen game development a lot.
Well,
like, quote-unquote, annoying for them right now. Because you're basically you're building games for the new hot shit, and you have to accommodate your old Jaguar-based systems, which is a headache for them. So I hope that this game is purely next gen. But the thing is, we haven't had a Rocksteady game in a very long time. We've had the current gen stuff on the market in all that time. So I don't know, dude. I feel like even though I want it to be only next gen, I feel like it's going to be cross gen.
Yeah. Yeah. I want it to be next gen only. Yeah. But I don't know how they word that for Microsoft.
Right.
So they're probably going to have to make it cross gen.
Right.
All right. Speaking of anti-consumer earlier.
Speaking of bullshit.
Andy, hit us up with this next story. This is fucking stupid.
Okay. So we've discussed on the show before what anti-consumerism really is all about. This is like the quintessential example of what that is. So yes. Let's forget about Spider-Man being on PS4 only for fucking the Marvel game. That's fine. This is what we mean by anti-consumer. So we are getting a Control, one of my favorite games of last year, by the way, Ultimate Edition, which includes a free next-gen upgrade. And that's the only way that you can have that. So if you were like me and you bought Control when it first came out and you bought all the DLC as they were announced, you cannot upgrade your game for free. And that is horseshit. There is nothing that this Ultimate Package doesn't have that my base game and my DLC don't. So explain to me why I cannot just upgrade for free. Other than greed, why can't I upgrade for free?
It's just weird, man. It's a weird, like...
Dude,
if you want to
be a dick about it and charge me $5, I'll pay $5 to upgrade. Like, I won't like it, but I'll pay it. But having no option at all, like, essentially, yeah. Control was a game that you can tell was slightly held back by our current generation of hardware.
It ran much better
on PCs. So I was holding off playing the DLC until I could play this game on my PS5. But now you're telling me I have to buy it again to play it on PS5, which is malarkey and true anti-consumerism, if I've ever seen it.
Man, when I look at this, I'm confounded.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe the PS5, maybe this is one of the 1,000 games or whatever that the PS5 will be able to just play better.
Sure.
Boost it. Like I would accept that because the game is good enough and it's okay. It's a last gen game. Like I don't need it to have all the bells and whistles of a next gen game. That's fine to me. But this is punishing anybody who purchased this game.
Right. But the thing is, Steven, that this has that they actually had to make. They developed a next gen version, upgrade wise, for this game.
Right. Right.
And that is now locked out to me because I have to buy it again. It makes no sense. And I feel like, how do you not read the room about these things? We've had countless developers coming out saying, if you buy the game now on PS4, Xbox One, free upgrade next gen. You had fucking EA with Madden. They got lambasted on Twitter. You had 2K games with their weird Kobe Bryant version upgrade, which you can kind of maybe do some mental gymnastics and explain away. I get that. But this is, I think, inexcusable. It's just the game and the DLC, nothing else. It's disheartening. It's very disheartening.
Andy.
Yes.
Flight Simulator is getting 10s all over the place.
It really is. That game looks fucking gorgeous. Now on Game Pass.
It does.
Gorgeous looking game.
I have concerns.
Oh, do you?
I do. I have concerns, Andy.
Oh, boy.
And
give
it comes from
give
a
me
PC
your concerns,
gamer.
Steven.
PC Gamer, which is one of my trusted sites for PC game reviews. PC Gamer's review states, and I'm going to read this one paragraph here, which scares me as a PC gamer who just built a PC. Quote, some of my frustrations a bit more shallow than that, though. In sleepy rural landscapes, I can get frame rates approaching 60 frames at ultra settings with my RTX 2080 Ti my i7 9700K and 16 gigabyte of RAM.
Sounds like sponsored content.
Sounds like a good. I mean, that's two graphics cards better than what I have.
A sponsored news segment.
It's not wasn't a made aware of. So I don't know. But once the buildings enter the screen, I'm often down below 20 frames per second. In fact, there are certain places in the world I simply can't fly. New York is off limits, even at the lowest graphical preset, struggling to produce even 20 frames a second. The same goes for Toronto. Crashes, the game, not the plane, are common in those areas. And it also crashed to desktop for me whenever I plugged in or unplugged a device. We all want our game to look like that trailer, but even with top-end hardware, it seems a pipe dream at the moment. Now, that concerns me, but it also, I feel like, is expected.
Because right.
Call of Duty still crashes my computer.
Sure.
For no fucking reason. Like, right. No reason whatsoever. I think this is just an optimization issue. This is a... Eventually, this game is going to run just perfectly fine on this person's computer with these whatever. But I'm curious, and it's on Game Pass, so that's perfectly fine with me. I'll try it. Mm-hmm. But I am nervous because, like, the one thing I want to do is, like, look at how they recreated New York, like, I live. Like, I want to be able to take a little friggin' Cessna, and I want to fly that shit and just look around and see all the blocks and stuff.
Just, you know, Lower East Side, you know, look at the Village, you know, go to fucking Soho.
Right.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, this is a little alarming because I feel like this wasn't mentioned in a lot of reviews. When you see glowing 10s, you feel like technical issues aren't really – they shouldn't be there in any way, I imagine, that are this glaring. Because I don't think most folks have high-end beast – PCs, correct? I don't, and you sure don't.
Yeah, I mean, he takes the right approach to this. He says, in the next paragraph, he says, both of these are short-term problems. The information will come... he's talking about a problem before that where he was having a lack of a tutorial, a comprehensive tutorial, but whatever, that's... whatever. The frame rates will improve, whether by game updates, driver updates, or the longer-term new GPUs. So I've put that frustration aside and consider what Flight Simulator 2020 means in the long term. It's a transcendent bit of software. So there are definitely... I have reservations. If it runs great, fucking awesome. Now, if it does run well, and I do like it... Andy.
Yes?
Do I need to get a flight stick, bro?
I think that's in your immediate future.
Dude. Do I need to get a flight stick and then also a flight helmet?
I need to get one of those masks that go like this? I think you need to complete the whole look.
Yeah.
If we're having some...
A pilot outfit? Should I get a pilot's outfit?
I feel like you... I mean, you do have a green screen once upon a time, so...
I do, yeah. Yeah.
I think you got to have the whole look going for you. Maybe some aviator sunglasses, a scarf, you know, have different looks.
Like, I'll pretend depending on where you are. Switches, I'll be like...
Get, like, flight gloves. You know,
wait, hold on.
Brown leather flight gloves.
This is your captain. It's Captain Batchild. We are closing in on New York City. Local time is 9:50 p.m. It's a little cloudy.
It is a balmy 75 degrees. My balls are a little bit wet.
I'll get my wife to sit behind me and
be a steward. And adjust your chairs to the upper position. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Indeed. Speaking about bumpy rides, Steven.
Holy fuck.
who did not see this coming? definitely not me, because I knew it was coming. I called this a while back. Now, if we were listeners, if we were a more well-produced podcast, we would flash back to me calling this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. We're a two-man
team. If this wasn't literally, if I didn't stop recording and then put it up immediately on the internet, if I actually went back and edited any of this.
We're low budget. I clap on the stream. I got the dog in the background. Steven's here. It's all low budget. Halo Infinite has been delayed until next year. I'm going to read this opening statement and then we'll discuss. Today I want to share an important Halo Infinite development update with the community. We have made the difficult decision to shift our release to 2021 to ensure the team has adequate time to deliver a Halo game experience that meets our vision. Whew, I got thoughts. Steven, I got thoughts. So
I know exactly what happened.
The writing was on the wall for this. Now, we could get into the pros and cons of delaying a game. We can get into the obvious work that this game needed from its demo not too long ago.
From whatever they showed, yeah. Whether that was old or not old.
I want to give a shout out to all those people, all those Halo fans who voiced their concerns and their distaste of this footage to 343. It was your voice that changed this. You said, this is not good enough. This does not meet a standard we expected from you, given the most powerful console and its Halo. This does not meet our requirements. Go back and do it better. Those people, good on you. For those who were like, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it, it's okay, and we're going to get a ray trace patch down the line. No. When you become complacent and you let shit slide because you're blind fanboyism, you get subpar work and you get mediocrity. You should not settle for mediocrity. Ever. Ever. And this is what happens when you voice your concerns. When you aren't afraid to tell someone, this is not good, dude. Like, this is clearly not a good looking game. You got the pop-ins, we got the Craig meme out of this was golden for sure. But again, this is what happens. And I wonder now what this means for the Series X launch. How much will it impact it in terms of sales? Well, when you have what looks like a high price premium console launching without its flagship series, who's buying it at launch? Where's the incentive to buy it without this? What would have been the only first party game launching with the Series X? Now it's getting not a single first party game at launch.
Here's what happened. Here's a reenactment, a dramatic reenactment that happened behind closed doors at Microsoft. You ready?
I'm ready.
Oh man, that trailer, that was great, man. A lot of people are very excited for that. And let's check the old comment section and see what's going on here. Chat, can you pull up that comment section and throw that on the board here? Looks like a potato. What is this? And then all of a sudden, somebody kicks the door in, like one of the top Microsoft people, not Xbox people, Microsoft people, kicks the door in and goes, What is this? This is years of development, and this is what you show? Absolutely not. What do we do? And then they panicked.
And then
the people who know how to make video games were like, Relax. This was an old build. And he was like, what do you mean it was an old build? Why are we showing an old build? Show them the new stuff. It's coming out soon, ain't it? That's it. And then they said, you know what? People are mad. Let's kick this can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this bad guy not look like a literal potato. And it'll be fine. And we'll fix it. And it'll all be great.
Right.
And it's still Halo.
Right.
It's still going to sell.
Sure.
This version of it would have still sold.
Of course.
But I think they desperately need to continue to shove the argument of most powerful, and you can't put a potato
and you showed
and
me
call
a
it
PC
the most
build.
Powerful.
Also.
Right, and you need to stop saying this is running on a PC. Like, fucking, do whatever. Just,
Steven.
Make me want to buy an Xbox. Please. I gotta
think, because they're saving us some money when you think about it.
Listen, right now I'm happy with just supporting them with Game Pass and putting it on my PC.
Yes, I'm totally fine with that.
I really like having new hardware, even if it's hardware I barely play or I will only play for certain things. The interface of the Xbox app on PC is butt duty, and I hate it. it's worse than Epic. It's above Steam, I would say, because Steam's really fucking annoying with like the friends and like doing all that. Mm-hmm. But like, I want the ease of a console. I want to not worry about drivers and updates this.
Right.
And
do, I like getting a little, I want you know, notification saying, hey, update, cool, yeah, download
Let
it, sweet.
Me do oh, it, do Xbox.
Steven.
Anyway.
This is concerning because, well, I don't like how they have to mention COVID in their little delay blurb. This is 5 years in development, $500 million rumored in development for this game. And you thought that that was going to pass the smell test when you showed it. In
oh,
that,
it smelled.
In the
oh, trip. It smelled. It smelled all right. I'm listen, I'm not a Halo dude. I would not buy an Xbox for Halo, but like right. if they came out with IP like Obsidian, basically anything Obsidian is doing, I'm like, yes, absolutely, give me more of that, put it right. in my mouth.
Listen, no one out
like
there
a too human
thinks this is a bad idea. If you want to delay a game to make it better, by all means, I've been there before many times. I prefer a game that looked and played better than ran like hot garbage and looked like shit.
Yeah.
By all means, do that.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, also your Halo, you're a big IP. You're allowed to do that. It's fine.
Right.
But you released this demo and you thought that this was the best. It was the first thing you showed in that conference that would showcase your next gen console's power. And it just fell so flat. And then it took like, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks delayed.
I have no doubts that this delay will make that game look better.
Yeah.
But they have to start showing this stuff soon. All right, let's get into the hype zone.
Oh boy,
Andy,
Steven.
This is sad. I'm not even mad. I'm legitimately sad at the hype zone.
Steven.
Yes.
Let me tell you something right now.
I'm very upset about this, Andy.
Nintendo has done a lot of things to me in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I've stood by them year after year.
Thick and thin.
Especially this year when they've had, you know, they gave us Animal Crossing, Paper Mario. But they've been rather quiet. And I understand that.
A little too quiet.
You show 8-minute partner directs, quote unquote, and everyone hates you. But I support you. You give us indie directs and everyone hates you. But I support you. Mm-hmm. But the line's been crossed.
They have gone too far, Andy.
They've gone so far that I don't know who they are anymore. They're now a complete stranger to me. I think they may have lost us forever as fans. There was a time when we had an actual Nintendo podcast. Had that podcast been going till this day, this would have been that podcast last day, because this would have ended that podcast. With this dramatic and it's sort of fan upending news.
Yes.
It seems that Nintendo has erased the existence, has stripped Mario of his once epic nipples. Nipples that once shone so brightly with just the warmth of a thousand suns will now never grace the eyes of children and grown men.
Andy, I would like to offer a moment of silence.
This is the sadness.
Mario's nipples. Yes. Chat, please be quiet. Yes, please. Moment of silence. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right, chat, let's kick it over to you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, news stories you want us to cover real quick while we wrap up the show, please post them in the chat right now. But listener, let me tell you, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27, and Andy is at PantsGuy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. If you want to follow us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/DualScreensStreams. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/DualScreensTV. We want to thank Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlays and logos. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for our cartoon art, which you can find you can follow him at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. If you want to send us feedback or questions, you could do so at feedback@ndspodcast.com. Or if you do join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/ndspodcast, you can get access to our VIP Discord and drop any questions at any time for any episode, for any show, in our mailbag section over there on the Discord. Andy?
Mm-hmm.
This was a very good episode. I'm happy we did this one today.
The nipples are actually kind of hard after that episode. It was that good.
Which is sad.
I know. Which is, it's also ironic.
Nipplegate.
I have too much nipple now, but Mario has none.
Nintendo Nipplegate was quite a way to end the show. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If we don't get questions right now. That's a certainly a good... So, final thoughts here. Final thoughts on the episode. Final thoughts before we say goodbye.
I'm seeing some great thoughts right here from Mikey Kirsch that you could have thrown more shade at Xbox.
There was no shade. Listen, again, if they're making the most powerful console, yada, 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 $600 is a great price for it, especially if they have the Series S. I think they know what they're doing. I think $600 and $400 are perfect prices for those two machines. I think it'll be great. We just want the prices already. Get them out. Hit them with us. Sony. Ghost of Tsushima getting multiplayer mode, great, awesome. WB Games, fucking stop it. Just fucking stop it. Just stop it. And Control, Remedy,
also
what are you
stop
doing,
it.
Bro?
Also fucking
just
stop it. Cut it out.
Sit down for a minute.
Yeah.
Just sit down.
Put you in a corner? This is ridiculous.
Flight Simulator, I'm coming for you, buddy. I'm coming for you. We gonna play. We gonna play. We gonna fly some planes, let me tell you. We're going to do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And Halo, just get better, bro. Feel better. I feel like Halo, like, had an accident.
Right.
And is, like, in the hospital. And it's like, oh, right. It's not looking good.
Oh, shit.
It's not looking good. We need to...
It's on life support, guys.
Yeah. Maybe not life support, but, like, you need a transplant. Transfusion. You need a transplant, and we need to find somebody. We think we have a liver coming in from somewhere, but... But no, it's not. Okay, last second news story that Buzz Killington wants us to cover before we go, just to annoy Andy, from IGN. WWE 2K Battlegrounds full roster has been revealed.
You think this annoys me? You don't know me.
AJ Styles and Finn Balor confirmed for launch. Woo. Okay, it's a big, big roster.
Ooh, this is an IGN exclusive.
Holy crap, this is a big roster, dude. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles, Akira Tozawa, Aleister Black, Alexa Bliss, Alicia Fox, Andre the Giant, Apollo, Asuka.
You see now, Buzz, you made a fatal flaw here, because I would play this game, and I'm going to play this game, because it's not a fucking wrestling game. It's like the NBA Jam of wrestling games.
That's right.
So
that's
I'm all
right.
about this. So thank you for this bit of news, and I appreciate it.
Baron Corbin, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Beth Phoenix, Big E, Big Show, Bobby Lashley, Bobby Roode, Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, Carmella, Cesaro, Charlotte Flair, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Edge, pre-order bonus,
Losing
Elias,
Finn
Balor, Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts, Jeff Hardy, John Cena, Kalisto, Carl Anderson, ain't weird, Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, Lince Dorado, that's right, his name is Lince. Liv Morgan, Luke Gallows, Mandy Rose, Mankind, Mickie James, Naomi, Natalya, Nia Jax, Nikki Bella, Nikki Cross, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, Roman Reigns, Ronda Rousey, Rowan, R-Truth, Samoa Joe, Sasha Banks, Seth Rollins, Sergeant Slaughter, Shawn Michaels, Shinsuke Nakamura, Stephanie McMahon, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Miz, The Rock, Triple H, The Undertaker, Xavier Woods, Yokozuna, and now the post-launch roster.
No, don't do it. You fucking dare. Like 80 more names.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Dual Screens Gamescast. We love you very much, and as always, please be excellent to each other.